David?
Yeah, I'm David Marcus. I'm the Executive Vice President and Head of Music at Ticketmaster.
I wonder if you could just start out by telling me how Ticketmaster determines the percentage that they will charge.
How Ticketmaster determines the percentage
How Ticketmaster
they will
determines
charge.
Their fees.
Oh, the Ticketmaster doesn't determine their fees. Fees are set by the venues that we ticket. So when Ticketmaster contracts with a venue client to provide ticketing services, the venue and Ticketmaster negotiate a fee for Ticketmaster to provide that service, and then the venue sets the retail fees to the consumer on top of that, and they determine what the consumer pays on any given ticket price.
So how do you determine how does Ticketmaster determine what they will charge?
Well, we charge the venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a negotiation with the venue. Every venue is different. It depends on the sophistication of the software we have to provide, the level of service, the number of tickets the venue sells in a given year, the number of events they have. Are they a sports venue? Are they a concert venue? Are they a theater venue? Do they have 27 gates or 3 gates, right? It's every venue presents a unique challenge for us, and we negotiate our rates with the venues accordingly.
I see. And it depends also on the artist involved?
No.
Yeah.
No, Ticketmaster contracts with venues to provide all of their ticketing services in the venue for a period of years. So typically 3 years. And we don't have any insight into who the artist will be over that period of time or what specific events will take place for the most part. So it's a fee-for-service contract that we negotiate with the venue, and it's typically a function of how complicated are the services that the venue needs.
Really interesting. Thanks, David. And so at what point would Ticketmaster work with artists as you did with those artists in the past? You know?
So, so the division that I oversee, part of the services we provide are strategic advisory services and program management services for touring artists. So we'll work with a big artist like 21 Pilots and help them look at their tour, look at their touring plans, understand their financial and fan objectives, and then help them understand what products and services might help them accomplish those objectives. So, for example, this morning, 21 Pilots is a great example. They just announced their upcoming 2018 tour, and we launched a verified fan campaign for them. And that's a really valuable product and service for them because they care very much about having a low ticket price so they can attract a young audience and ensuring that their fans pay that low ticket price. The band's incredibly hot, and they're a really easy target for scalpers. And so with a low ticket price, the expectation would be that in the absence of a verified fan campaign, their tickets would be scooped up in great volume by scalpers and resold at much higher prices.
Has that happened? So, as has happened?
As has happened. So we work with them to talk through how a verified fan might work, how to allocate inventory for that, how to go on sale most effectively, and how to achieve their fan objectives, which really are make sure fans get to pay the prices we charge and not inflated prices.
All right, so they were really happy with the rollout that you all did last year. I'm looking at that verified fan, how it operates. You say you ask the fans to come in. How do you do that?
It's really simple. We ask the fans to register and provide us some basic information, their name, their mobile phone number, and their email address, and connect their Ticketmaster account. And with that, we can determine to a relatively decent degree of accuracy whether they are someone who's likely to go to the show or whether they're somebody who's likely to resell a ticket they buy.
How can you tell if someone's resold the ticket?
Well, we can tell if somebody is likely to attend a show.
How can you
tell that? We can tell based on a bunch of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Is their name and mobile phone number associated with a broker that we have in our database? is their address in the same state as the event is taking place, right? There's a bunch of data we look at, and we don't really disclose what we look at because the scalping audience is effective at circumventing the safeguards.
Are you saying scalpers are HPR listeners as well?
No, I would never. So we do our best to identify people who we think are likely to go to the show, and then we invite them to buy tickets.
Okay, now
and
wait,
we
you
don't invite the people. Go ahead.
I'm just really interested in how you. So you look at their past ticket purchases through Ticketmaster, and you can kind of tell whether or not they've actually attended those events.
We look at lots of different data points. And we can tell with a fair degree of certainty whether they're likely to attend an event that they have registered for. And our best evidence of our success is that we typically see 5% or fewer of the tickets that are purchased by verified fans getting resold.
Mm-hmm. So you qualify, and then they get into this sort of private invitation-only ticket sale environment. Where what happens? Do I get a chance at these concert tickets first?
Yep. If you're selected to participate in a verified fan presale, you have the opportunity to purchase tickets before anybody else who's either didn't qualify in the registration or didn't register. So typically, there's a day set aside where those who are invited because they've been verified have an opportunity to buy tickets. And they get to buy before anybody else. So if there's enough demand, if there's enough verified fan demand to buy every ticket in the venue, you can sell out at an event with verified fan. If there's enough verified fan demand to buy half the tickets in the venue, the other half of the tickets are made available to the general public.
Hmm. Has it ever sold out via verified fan?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Harry Styles did a tour mm-hmm. that sold out via Verified Fan. Mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen did, a 200-plus date residency on Broadway that was sold entirely by Verified Fan. We have a lot of Verified Fan sellouts. 21 Pilots sold out their entire Columbus, Ohio residency via Verified Fan.
How many artists are you working with through this program then?
We've probably worked with, it has to be approaching 100 tours since we launched mm-hmm. the program at the very end of 2016. So we tested it at the end of 2016. Mm-hmm. It succeeded beyond our expectations, mm-hmm. and it caught on really quickly. And we had a really, really active 2017. Mm-hmm. And that's continued into 2018. And we're really excited about not just the product, but the prospect of being able to sell tickets to people based on who they are, not based on how fast they can get to a ticket sale, right? And that's the traditional paradigm. The traditional paradigm is the tickets go on sale at 10 a.m., and the first people to the ticketing system get the best tickets. And the problem with that paradigm is it's been corrupted by software, right? People are using bots. Resellers are using bots to acquire tickets, and bots can get into our ticketing system faster than any fan can, and they can reserve tickets really at an industrial scale. It's not fair to fans. It's not good for artists. And so we want to change the dynamic and not make it about how fast you can come to buy tickets, but about who you are and whether you're a consumer who wants to go to a show or whether you have a business interest in mind and want to resell a ticket. And we want to reward consumers first with first access based on who they are, not based on how fast they are.
Well, does how fast or what comes in there? Because I'm a verified fan waiting to buy with other verified fans, probably in a waiting room as there was for the Bruno Mars tickets. And what, I'm waiting for a random opportunity in a waiting room?
Yeah, in some cases it's a random opportunity. In some cases we, like in the Taylor Swift case, we let people in effectively one at a time based on how much they had engaged with Taylor Swift over the course of her album release campaign. In some cases, we only select enough people to participate as there are tickets to sell. So, one of the challenges that we have in traditional concert ticketing is, you know, you have a typical arena with 10,000 seats to sell, and you have demand from for 25,000 seats, and everybody comes in all at once, and some people get shut out, and they don't understand why. With Verified Fan, we can tell people, hey, you've been selected, but you're on the wait list because we don't have enough tickets to offer everybody. So the people who are selected are going to go first, and if there are tickets remaining, we'll invite people off the wait list to come by. So anybody who's selected knows they're going to have an opportunity to purchase.
Yeah,
and
but,
those on the wait list understand why.
How do I, you know, up my chances of, quote, qualifying?
Well, if you're just a fan, your chances are you don't have to do anything, right? If you're not a regular reseller of tickets from Ticketmaster, or you don't exhibit the signals that a reseller would exhibit, your chances don't need to be upped. Getting selected where demand far exceeds supply, that's random. It's the only fair way to do it, unless the artist decides to put in a program that asks the fans to do other things. So we've had artists like the Foo Fighters or Depeche Mode.
How about Bruno Mars? I mean, was there anything particular in place there?
No, we did not do Verified Fan with Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah, but there was that delay for local fans?
For Bruno Mars, there was a zip code restriction. You could only purchase tickets if you had a billing zip code that was a Hawaiian billing zip code.
Mm-hmm. That was something a little different for y'all? Or it's been done before, no doubt.
Yeah, it's been done before. I mean, we're a fairly flexible platform, and we work really closely with our artists and our promoters to make sure that we can deliver the kind of experience they want to deliver.
Why wouldn't everyone go with Verified Fan? I mean, what is the fee for Verified Fan, and who pays it?
There's no fee. There's no fee for Verified Fan.
Who pays for all this extra checking and, you know, background checks and whatnot that you all must be doing?
Ticketmaster pays for that. I mean, we care very much about the fan experience. We care very much that we can deliver for artists. And so this is a platform that we've invented to solve what we think is a critical problem in the concert industry, which is that artists lose control of their pricing and their brand when ticket resellers get between the artist and their fans.
Okay, help me understand this. This is so basic. You are contracted with the Aloha Stadium to provide the ticket sales service. You don't actually have an arrangement with Bruno Mars?
So, you know, you're right. We are contracted with Aloha Stadium to provide ticketing services. But about 12 years ago, we built a division at Ticketmaster because we understood that artists were getting disconnected from their fans in the live entertainment experience. And artists have a bunch of different service providers between them and their fans. There's an agent who books their shows. There's a concert promoter who produces and promotes the show. There's the venue that the concert promoter rents to house the show. And then there's the ticketing company that the venue contracts with to sell the tickets. So if you're an artist, your fans are at the other end of that chain. And what we decided was that we had an opportunity to improve the artist fan experience if we worked more closely with the artist community and helped them understand how the decisions they made about how and when to put tickets on sale affected the fan experience. And to, in fact, listen to them, the artist community, and understand what they would like to see happen and go and build those products and services so that they could make a decision to go on tour and sell their tickets in a particular way and be confident that that would be their fans' experience. And that's the business that I run here. We provide those services to the artist community so that they can be confident that their fan experience is the same, whether they're just playing a single show or a couple shows in a destination like Hawaii, or whether they have a national or international tour.
Oh, so the artists pay to work with you in this capacity, where you come back again to Aloha Stadium and say, this is how we want the tickets to be sold?
Yeah, we work with the artists, we work with the promoter, we work with Aloha Stadium, and we just make sure that all the decisions that the artist makes work for everybody in the chain, mm-hmm. including the fan.
And you figured the decisions that were made with the Bruno Mars experience here in Hawaii, did they seem to make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's an interesting question. Did they seem to make sense? Yeah, I mean, I think Bruno's goal was to have a single on sale that favored the residents of Hawaii. And so having the Billings zip code restriction was, I think, a good decision. There is nothing that can be done to solve the supply-demand equation. Bruno Mars' hometown show in Hawaii, there's going to be massive demand for that, both from Hawaiian residents and from outside of Hawaii, because what an amazing destination. So, you know, you do your best to manage the demand and deliver the supply, and there are always going to be fans who are shut out in those instances. And the only thing you can do is add another show, and he did. And so at some point, he can only play so many shows, right? And there are inevitably going to be fans who don't get to see Bruno Mars. But I think, you know, you do your best to make sure that you reserve the tickets for the people you want to have access to them, and you put them on in as fair a way as possible.
Is it unusual to have a physical ticket lineup?
No, I mean, that used to be, you know, historically, that's the principal way tickets were sold. I think in the last 15 years, internet ticketing has become clearly the dominant retail channel for ticketing. But it's not uncommon for artists to, almost every venue in North America sells tickets at the box office. And it's not uncommon for artists to have specific amounts of tickets allocated so that people who do get in line at the box office have something to buy.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I don't think that happened here. We just were wondering if we're just really way behind the times or kind of crazy for actually going down and camping out for 2 or 3 days, you know? Like, who's going to do that? While you're sitting there in line, you're on your phone. So, I don't know. Was that a decision that the stadium would have made?
I don't have any idea. To allow people to camp out, I don't have any idea whose decision that was. I mean, that's the old school way. That's the way people my age used to buy tickets when we were kids, you know, when The Who was coming to town or, you know, when Led Zeppelin was playing, you'd go camp out, spend the night sleeping on the sidewalk.
It's kind of cool in a way.
Yeah, it's the way you build community and share your love of an artist and be committed. And, you know, the internet has made that a little bit obsolete, but I think for a lot of people, you know, there's something fun about it.
I think you're right about that, actually. So, you know, how I talked to the consumer protector here, and he's like, where are they? Where did they go? Where are these bots? I mean, what kind of evidence or what kind of could Ticketmaster ever provide a consumer protector who's ready to take on this challenge?
It's really hard. I mean, we, you know, this is a scourge in the industry. When the Obama administration passed the BOTS Act in 2016, we were beyond enthusiastic. But the challenge is it's very difficult to enforce because, you know, bots are software, and the software is anonymous and difficult to track. And those who operate them are hidden behind the infrastructure of the internet. And it has become more about trying to defend our systems than, you know, we spend more time and more money defending our systems than we have to, you know, try to figure out who's behind these things. And for the federal government, it's just not a priority, or hasn't been. So, you know, we spend a ton of time every day trying to figure out what's our next move. How do we redesign the consumer experience, the software experience, to make it harder for bots to get access to tickets? And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you it is the number one priority here at Ticketmaster. It's the thing we spend most of our time doing so that we can do a better job getting tickets to fans.
Can you tell how many bots, how many tickets were taken by bots once a sale is done? I mean, it was something I saw a number like 90% went to actual people from that 21 pilots tour. But can you actually tell that?
It's really hard to tell. We can sometimes see bot activity because we see behaviors in the system that are unusual or don't seem to be consumer behaviors. But once a ticket's been transacted, that transaction is reflected by a valid credit card and billing address. And whether or not a bot, you know, input that or not, it's nearly impossible for us to see that. The behavior that bots engage in that is so detrimental to consumers is sometimes buying lots of tickets. It is also sometimes holding lots of tickets in a status so that consumers can't buy them. And that's almost more troubling, right, in that, you know, bots will try to infect and freeze on sales so that consumers have to go to other marketplaces to buy tickets that are being sold by brokers. And that's just something that we just can't tolerate.
Well, that is evil. But that also points to another section that the consumer protector mentioned. He said sometimes up to 50% of the entire house will be reserved or sort of set aside by various entities along the chain here.
No. That's an extreme number, not my experience.
Mm-hmm. What would be average?
Think about that from an artist's perspective, right? What artist would allow 50% of their tickets to be...
Can't imagine. For what?
Yeah, it's too much.
But 20%?
No. 5, 10% maybe. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's, you know, artists have friends and family. Artists have media that they want to come review the show. They have business partners who've been involved in helping do the ticketing, provide the catering. I mean, there's a ton of support that goes into a stadium-level act. And everybody's there fundamentally to service the art, the performance. And so, you know, artists have to make sure that they can take care of the people who are taking care of them and give them access to the show. So mm-hmm. There's nothing nefarious in artists holding tickets to be used for their industry partners, for media partners, for public radio reporters who they want to have the experience. Mm-hmm. It's, in fact, the most frequent red herring that the brokers and resellers throw out there is that there's something unfair because there really are more tickets available for consumers I think what they say is there should be more tickets available for consumers. It's not their fault. It's the artist's fault. And I think that is wholly unsupported by the facts.
Yeah. I mean, I get this kind of touching commitment on the part of artists who want to provide the experience of a live performance at a reasonable price.
Yeah. I mean, it's the fundamental motivator for any artist that wants to have a career is to ensure that they can attract a full house at a price that makes people want to come back. It doesn't do any good to hold tickets back from the public because that's fans that you're not going to see next time. It doesn't do any good to price every single ticket in the house to market because that's money your fans aren't going to have when they want to come see you next time. So for career artists, that's the fundamental both challenge and opportunity, is how do I price my tickets in a way that feels appropriate for my brand and for my career.
And live performance popularity, people are getting off the couches, and this is growing?
I can't even believe the growth in the live entertainment market. I mean, we're seeing record year on record year. And it's because there's no substitute for that communal live experience, and especially in an age where we're all walking around staring into our phones and ignoring each other, there's something completely irreplaceable about being at a live concert.
Across the wide spectrum of these live events, where do you see the biggest growth?
I mean, we're seeing growth in every category. We're seeing growth in live concerts at every level of the market, from the general admission clubs up through the stadium shows. We're seeing growth in the arts and theater. We're seeing growth on Broadway. I mean, the scale of the hits and the productions on Broadway, whether it's Hamilton or Harry Potter, Mean Girls, like we see these you know, runaway hits on Broadway, and really every category. People want to get out of their houses. They want to go have a great experience. And production value is getting better. I mean, we're able to deliver just a better experience for the dollar, again, at every level of the live entertainment industry.
Last question. I think I saw these numbers, that of the total price that a person pays for a ticket, maybe 18 to 21% is going to Ticketmaster. Does that sound accurate?
Of the total price that a person pays for a ticket, no, 18 to 20% doesn't go to Ticketmaster. The total fees on a ticket may be 18%. But as I noted when we started our conversation, Ticketmaster gets a very small percentage of that number. The total goes to the venue, and the venue divides it up among a number of participants.
Dave, you've been fantastic. Really, I thank you for your time. Is there anything else you think that you'd like us to know?
Yeah, I mean, you asked a couple good questions about fees. I think it's important to note that, when you pay to go see a live concert and you pay the artist ticket price, think about just how much effort it takes to put that show on, to provide the infrastructure for everybody to be able to buy a ticket, to be able to get in the venue, for the venue to be able to provide the security, all the facilities that they make available. And, artists keep their ticket money, and the people who participate in putting that event on rely on those outside fees. So it's easy to see those fees as somehow, because Ticketmaster is the retailer that charges the fee, somehow Ticketmaster taking money it's not entitled to. But it's important to understand that that is not a fee that just goes to Ticketmaster. That's the fee that reimburses those who are not just ticketing the show, but presenting the show.
All the support services, which you just begin to lift a curtain on with this conversation. Thanks so much, David. Really appreciate your time and your thoughts.
Great. Thanks so much.
Aloha.